This is Michael Riversong. This is the Tesla Academy podcast series, part two with David Thompson. So we're here with David Thompson, the developer of the Aether Physics Theory, or model, which is a more accurate way to put it. And David, I'm wondering, how did you come about putting this theory together?
You know, that's a really, I'm glad you asked that, because this came about from just simple experimentation. I was building a flat spiral coil, and I chose to look at the spark between the center tap and the outer winding, and put a fluorescent tube in between it, and I noticed that there were two different kinds of sparks, a thin purple spark and a thick white spark. And I looked at that, and just through common sense, I'm saying, well, if there's only one electron, why does it have two different manifestations in the same spark gap? And so I looked in the standard model for an explanation, and not finding one, I figured I'd examine the foundations of physics for myself. And just by looking at Coulomb's constant and doing a little analysis of the other empirical constants, including Planck's constant, within 3 weeks, not only did I quantify two separate types of charges, but I also unified the forces in that time.
When you say unifying the forces, this is something that has been a great difficulty with conventional physics, because we know that there should be something that unifies all the different forces, but my understanding is that no physicist has really found that yet.
Well, you're correct. There, modern physics is still trying to do this big numerological mysticism view, as far as I'm concerned. But the physics theory that I came up with is based on the Newtonian laws of force as given to us by Sir Isaac Newton and Charles Coulomb. And what I have found is the third force law for the strong force, and also showed that the weak interaction is really just a proportion of the electrostatic force to the strong force.
Okay, so how many forces do we have in this model?
There are three real forces, and then there is a proportional force. Today they call that proportional force a proportion of forces, the weak interaction. It's not really a force in itself. It's a unit without dimension. The weak interaction is unified to the what's called the electromagnetic force in standard theory, which is really just the electrostatic force. And that's very easy to do because they are related, and even in my theory.
Okay. I can see why there's so much difficulty with calculating anything with the so-called weak force based on what you've said here, because I know the mathematical calculations they use in that are just impossible.
Yeah, the so-called weak force applies to what I would call the unbinding of a proton and electron. And in that process, it releases a neutrino, or antineutrino, to be technically correct. In modern physics, this unbinding is considered in itself to be a force, although technically it's not.
I see. But gravity is a force. And how does that work in your model?
That's an excellent question. In the ether physics model, gravity is shown to be orthogonal to the strong force, which means that they are actually the same thing, but seen from different perspectives.
Orthogonal would mean like 60 degrees, more or less?
Or 90 degrees.
90 degrees.
So if you imagine a sheet of paper, the strong force would be like the broad side of the paper, and if you turn it sideways and you see only a line, that would be the gravitational view of the strong force.
Wow. Now that's going to take a lot of thought to get that put together, but it also makes sense in terms of mathematics, because again, the mathematics that we try to apply to gravity simply don't work.
Well, you know, there's a cosmological model today where the universe is explained by gravity. But there's also a new group of physicists. Actually, they've been around for over 30 years. Hans Alfvén was the first among them that I'm aware of, where he can describe the whole universe, instead of by gravity, by magnetism and electrostatic forces. And what I'm showing is that magnetism is the same view as gravity, but seen from a different perspective. And this view also applies to general relativity. Einstein has presented general relativity in terms of gravity, and I can produce the same thing in terms of magnetism and electrostatic charge.
This seems to open us up into work done by the late Charles Yost, and also to work done by Tom Vallone. And both of them used this term called electrogravitics, which a lot of people have had quite a time trying to comprehend.
Well, this theory also explains electrogravitics, but it's too much detail to apply right here. But it's safe to say that if we can see gravity as one view of the electromagnetic forces, then we can understand how they are related, and we can produce what would appear to be anti-gravity effects, but what they really are magnetic effects or electromagnetic effects.
That should help a lot with engineering.
And I'm doing a lot of research as a result of this with various projects such as energy production, so-called anti-gravity devices, which I see really as like making a bubble of space-time that separates itself from the space-time of the Earth, and therefore there's no gravity connection there anymore, and the vehicle would just merely float in a space-time, not necessarily being anti-gravity, but like a soap bubble floating in the air.
I've always thought the best gravity researchers were doing us a service by avoiding the word anti-gravity, because, you know, I'm all for gravity. It keeps me from flying off the planet and other things like that. It's very useful. But you're putting it in a more comprehensive perspective here, and that I see as especially helpful.
Well, thanks. There's a lot of new perspectives from the ether physics model that are just now being recognized by important plasma physicists, particularly those working with the electric universe model, because this theory is providing the quantum view of the electric universe.
That's very good. Well, David, I thank you very much for helping us out with this explanation. I really think that the best thing students could do would be to go into a deeper study of your book. What's the best way to get that book?
Right now we only publish the book ourselves, and it's available on our website, www.16pi2.com, or 16pi2.com. And we have an ebook version if somebody wants to try out the theory and see what it's about before buying the printed version.
That's very helpful. And also the book can be obtained through Tesla Tech at www.teslatech.info. So thank you very much, David. Do you have any concluding remarks?
Well, I want to thank you, Michael, for giving me the opportunity to present the ether physics model, and I hope that other people find it as interesting as we do.
Thank you very much. Thank you.